Blog Talk Radio.
One and only Mr. Hassan Black is online with this topic, and I appreciate this.
Man up.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How's everybody doing?
To tell it how I see it, because I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those who are checking the show, the Man Up Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington, and welcome to the show as another host, of course.
Now, I appreciate smart. But you gotta know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you wanna know their knowledge. You wanna know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you to this day? And if somebody can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. Wanna welcome everyone to the show. Listen to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, where I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours truly, Mr. Nas, and I want to say,
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do.
Have things done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives them. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Yes, for the love of money, what is going on, everybody? Once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. We are back for another week. I'm feeling amped. For the love of money, damn it, give me some. I need that. Come on.
I need the money. That's why we work in these four and a five day jobs, please. once again, welcome to the Shadow Wars Radio Network, and once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. You know, one of the most talked about shows on the internet. We making noise. We just trying to do what we do, and just trying to be a little bit peace part of the world. So let's spin around the room. I think we got the brothers online. What's going on, Brother? How you feeling, brother?
Brother. Oh my goodness! Trying to keep my head on straight while trying to get this cheddar.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Claim it.
You better believe it. Just trying to get
the state
that, you know, God is good, life is good, we here, you know, great topic, great show. I mean, I was waiting for, you know, everyone, some people got to have it. I mean, like, you know, we about to go.
We're gonna have fun tonight. You know, but I'd be remiss if I would say hello to my brother and one of the other hardest working brothers and holding it down in Virginia, brother Edward L. Fairley. What's going on, big dog?
Man, today has been such an interesting and reflective day for me today, fellas. God is awesome. Today was the funeral of the three young men that whose father died today. So I went to that, of course, to support. While headed to the funeral, I got an email from a woman from London, who is a director of a series television show for the Discovery Channel, asking me will I be able to talk to her. She said, I told her yes and that I will be available by 2:00. She contacted me and she wants to interview me. She's doing a documentary on the story of my father.
Ooh,
and
wow.
She wants to send the camera crew. She's been following my work and saw how I speak, and she's trying to figure out how is it that I still keep my ground and represent and express myself the way that I do with all that has been going on. She actually assumed that I didn't have a good relationship with my father. When she found that was untrue, which I quickly corrected her on that, she was even more intrigued. So she's working on getting the camera crew and everything here to actually do the interview for that documentary in regards to my father.
Good news,
and
that's awesome.
The interesting spin on that was when I ended up calling the young man after the evening and everything was over. I was calling them and I told them how they have a lot to be proud of and a lot to be grateful for. And my final question to them was, I shared what happened with the lady from London, and I said, now think about it. I said, I was just at your father's, you know, and people had wonderful things to say. Now, I'm going to be on television globally talking about my father, and I don't necessarily have great things to say. I said, would you rather be in my shoes where you have where my father was your father and you had to share that story, or would you rather be in your shoes where your father is your father and you get to share your story? And he was like, my father. I said, so just be mindful of that and be grateful for what you had or what you had in the father. So you had a great example, a great man, and just something to be prideful about.
Okay. Congratulations, brother. You know, good things happen for those who wait, brother. Definitely. I believe, do we have Brother Tom online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Tom? Oh, my God. What's going on, my man? Well, first of all, before we go any further, first of all, kudos and a salute and applause to you for being on that the Here and Now program on WABC. It was great. It was great that you represented for the NAACP. And the cause, you want to kind of tell some of the listeners, those who missed out on it, what happened? Tom?
Uh-oh.
I think we just had to drop a call from Tom. Oh, man down. but those who know Brother Tom, he fades in and out sometimes on the program. But it's okay. Damn. Damn. Oh, I had to get two dams on that one. Now, listen, but those recently, don't let me start it. Tom was recently on the WABC in New York at a very popular program on TV, but here and now program. And Brother Darryl, you want to kind of take over from here and let the listeners know what Tom was just doing? I think, is he back? Hold up. I think he's back.
Yeah.
Boston came back.
Yeah.
Tom,
sorry about
back?
That. I'm actually.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
let me start with, I'm in Indianapolis right now.
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm out here for a conference, you know, facilitating. They took care of me. They flew me out here, flying, you know.
Okay.
And they put me up, and what they didn't tell me is that the weather is in the negative and the wind chill is negative 23 today. And cell service apparently doesn't exist.
Oh, so you still, basically, you're still in Jersey for the most part.
I'm standing here as close to the window, feeling the cold right up against it for you. Yeah, the WABC. This weather was
not. Oh my God! Oh. So Tom, tell the listeners what you're doing out there in Indianapolis. Besides, you're freezing to another level of the country. You know, let the listeners know a little bit what you did in the show on WABC, and kind of let them know what you're doing right now.
All right. So first with WABC, you know, that was we were talking about what's going on. You know, the government had approved all that money for helping people out after Sandy, and the way that it worked was they gave our Governor Christie basically full rein on how that money spent. Was that a good idea? Mm-hmm. Was that a bad idea? I'm not going to say anything. But there's not enough oversight, for starters. So now we're looking at the mm-hmm. situation where all this money's been, you know, not all of it, but a good amount of it's been dispersed, and African-Americans are being rejected at significantly higher rates for relief. So we have 40% of African-Americans being rejected to receive help from the money that was put out there to help people who needed it, whereas Caucasians are 12% and Latinos 18%. So we have questions.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to bring up that issue because, you know, Sandy didn't discriminate when she came through New Jersey, so why is the funding?
That's right.
Now, I'm out in Indianapolis here. This is completely unrelated. This is actually for my fraternity. We're having a leadership conference. I'm out here facilitating. We're doing, you know, just trying to get the guys fired up and get them so they go back to their bathrooms and get to work and really try to push it to the next level.
Okay.
But I say that, when you're one of two black people on an airplane and you're riding first class, you get some salty looks.
I'm sorry. The hell with them. You get a salute on that one, brother.
You get yourself an extra glass of wine, another pillow. You know, your blanket.
You should have had your Tims on and playing Tupac real loud. You know, me against the world. Just piss everybody off. They'd be like, this angry Negro in the first class. He must be a rapper.
I wear the most, you know, just sweat because I just don't know what TSA is going to do to me. I have my flip, you know, my easy to come on those shoes. I look a damn mess. But then, everyone's looking at me in like a hoodie and a sweatpants. And some slip.
You say you're a rapper. I'm sorry, I talk about rappers. I'm not stereotyping. No one's going to be calling and getting angry at me. Brother, listen, brother Tom. See, we starting already. Brother Tom, listen, man. Once again, you know, we're very proud of what you're doing, you know, for the NAACP. We're very proud, you know, to see one of our brothers doing, you know, continue to fight in the struggle out here, not just being about the talk, you know, but he's actually doing the walk. So, once again, brother, I'm very proud of you, of all the rest of the brothers.
Talking to brothers like you that I can do that.
Oh, no doubt. I want to get the fraternity. What's the name of the fraternity so we give them a shout out? Because I don't want nobody coming up with me. Hey, come on, brother, give a shout out to the fraternity. What's the fraternity that you're out there representing? Is it Sigma Phi? Tom.
Sigma Phi.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Big shout out to Sigma Phi, you know, no doubt. Shout out to you guys. You know, we're going to keep swinging around the room. I believe we have the first lady holding it down, the one and only Signature Black is on the line. Good evening, Miss Signature.
Hi, guys. I promise I didn't mean to chime in so early, but I need for Tom to do a couple of things for me.
Don't start. Don't
I need for him to get a new phone. I need for him to get a new phone. Who does he have service with? Let me see if I can hook him up.
Oh, my damn. Tom, bro.
It's forever. He has no damn signal.
Oh, man, Tom. Sig is coming at you very early.
I drink the Verizon switch and what has to happen.
Say what?
Verizon.
You going to pay the bill
for
me?
You got Verizon?
No, I don't.
What do you have?
You going to pay the bill for me, though?
You know what? Are you trying to get smart? Don't pass up what could be a hookup. No, I don't. You know what? Get a new phone. It's not. I don't think it's a service. I think it's your phone. You know, flip phones are out of style. Now, when you talk to your sister and you start a little bit, you might want to talk to me. Depending on who you have service with, you might get a hookup.
Oh,
right,
damn.
Here.
Oh, damn.
I'll have to give you a call offline.
Hey, don't use that phone though.
Use a landline. You call offline.
Call off from a landline.
What the fuck is that? This is ridiculous.
Tom, man, you chilling, man. Mind your business. They coming at you at the phone, man. It's all good, man. Just take it back to New York City. One of them big phones with the bag, carry bag.
I don't like the way you're treating me.
For me?
She's trying to take care of you.
Hold up. Are you talking to me? Are you saying I'm not treating you right? I'm trying to treat you right, and you're trying to come back and snap at me. Don't get me started.
Oh.
I've eaten dinner, too, and had water. I am good.
Hey, this is a great segue for our topic today.
Oh, yeah.
About money.
This could be a show. Can we have a show and let's talk about Tom? Can we have that
this is a great for the topic, the money, you know, the things we do for money. We try to get him the money for this phone.
Money for a new phone.
But
I do, though, Nas,
I do want to thank all of you all. I first of all, I want to apologize. I got so hectic on Sunday that I did not announce when I was going to be on. But some people did see me live while I was speaking in Maryland because I was streaming live Sunday morning.
Oh, man, awesome.
I just want to thank those who supported me. I truly appreciate it. It's clearly not going to be the last time I do it. But people are having difficulty. My wife saw the last four or five minutes of it. So even my wife didn't really get to see it, and I was trying to text her before I got up and went live. But everything going so fast and so hectic, and you actually had to go to something and sign up, I guess, so they could get your information. We all know how that works, so that you could be live. But yeah, I just wanted to thank you all for the support, and it's definitely going to happen.
Always, brother. Always, man. Is there any way possible that the listeners can, you know, is there someday a link or something they can check it out? Maybe the rebroadcast or even like playing it again, or is there
I don't know. I do know I got a text message asking for like a summary in like 3 points. So I'm thinking they're going to package it up, and as soon as I figure that out, I'll definitely disseminate the information to you all so that you all can see it if you want.
Awesome,
well,
brother. Awesome. But once again, we're proud, brother. We're proud. We know you showed your butt, man. You got up there. Give you a mic, game over. I'm talking about step back. You know, you gave Edward L. Fairley a mic and an audience. Pause. Forget about it. That's it. game over. But nah, man. But honestly, I know you did your thing, man. That's why we love you. That's why we can always count on Brother Edry. You know, listen, he got a topic, he gonna go in. You know, he's gonna basically break the subject, if I'm saying it kind of incorrectly. But yo, listen, let's get into this topic here. For the love of money. I know Tom's pressed, but I know Tom can be on for so long. So, Daryl, you want to kind of lead us into the topic matter?
Sure, absolutely. Okay, tonight's topic is for the love of money. Now, money is a very important tool in this life, in this world. To be able to do anything, you do need a certain level of economic independence to be able to do it. There's a certain level of economic dependency that we all have. We all have to fulfill our obligations as men and as women. We have to, you know, earn our keep, hold our own, make our way. That's very true. But sometimes we have a tendency to go and take things a little too far, where we sometimes lose sight of what our priorities are, where we to the making of the dollar and what we do for a dollar. Sometimes, you know, we don't know right from, we know right from wrong, but sometimes we're able to overlook it in order to achieve it. Sometimes, you know, that saying, I would never do this for money, or I would never do that for money. Sometimes you never know what never actually means. And so, you know, the actual price tag play started for you. So, you know, what is the love of money? What, you know, how do we prioritize money in our lives? What is a healthy appreciation for the dollar bill? And what, when does it become unhealthy? When does it become that we've gone too far? Tonight we have a couple of guests that are coming on tonight. One is Mr. Weldon Montague III. He's from the New Jersey Department of Labor. He will be on later. But currently now we have on a friend of mine, a life coach, a minister with the House of Praise in Bloomfield, New Jersey, Mr. Wayne Davidson. Wayne, are you online?
I am here. Good evening, everybody.
Hey.
Good evening.
Welcome
good
back.
Evening,
welcome to our show. No stranger to our airways. Wayne, I think you pretty much heard me pretty much give the intro to the topic of the love of money. Everybody has a need for money. I need it for sure. So do we all. But when do we go too far?
You know, you go to my understanding of money is just to get the things that we need. Jesus promised us that we would have the things that we need, not necessarily the things that we want. And I think where we go too far is when we start wanting for things and using money as our means, the vehicle to get them. You know, money is only for what you need. When you step over that boundary into, you know, you're lusting for different things, that's when you're misusing money in its purpose.
Absolutely. Totally understand. I'm totally with you. Edward. Yeah. Brother. Before I have my say or my two cents, give us your perspective.
Well, I mean, based on my Bible, I'm supposed to have abundance. I definitely should have what I need, and it's interesting that we brought this up because my prayer this year has been that God, I recognize that you can provide me with what I need, especially last year. I realized that you are a God of that provides my needs, but I am a child of yours, which means I am a child of a king, which makes me a prince. Right. And with that, I should have the abundance of a king. So I ask that you provide me with abundance on this year and forevermore. So I think to just have what you need is survival. And I'm not about living, keeping my head above water. I would like to be walking on water if I can, or actually on a boat or yacht, if you will, on that water. But I think the question or what the issue is whether I'm willing to sell myself and my God and my values out for that money. And that's where
point.
I think the problem lies. So
I
strive for more than what I need. I want abundance, but I will not sell out my values, God, family, business for that. And there's been plenty of opportunities for me to do so. Where you know, like the whole mentoring program that I do, and I'm the coordinator of. I've been offered plenty of times to go to facilities and get paid to do the same program that I'm doing at other facilities, but I told them, and like I said, it doesn't align with my values. And I said, the minute I take money to do mentoring is the minute the mentoring loses value, because now they see me as, oh, well, you get paid for this. So the value of what it is that I'm doing is gone. It's just like the way that the children look at the teachers now, oh, you get paid for this. You don't care about me. Not saying that the teachers don't, but when you're talking about a mentoring program or community service and for me to get paid for that, no. Also, these reality shows and producers that are contacting me and speaking, which helped me to realize how fake these reality shows are. Like when I was invited to Let's Talk, several times I was asked to answer questions, and after I answered the questions, they were like, oh, well, could you say this? We don't really want to talk about that. And I was like, no. And granted, that would be a lot of exposure for me, but I'm not willing to sell myself out or what I stand for just so that I can be on television. So the issue is whether you're willing to sell out your core values for the money as opposed to doing what you're supposed to do to get the money. And you can still have abundance on top of it.
That's right. That's right, bro.
Can I
go ahead,
brother. I was going to say that.
You good?
You know, I don't think it's really about the money itself. It's the deceitfulness of the riches. What? Because a lot of us have our we have some things inside of us, Christian or non, that lies dormant. And a lot of times the money, and especially when you have abundance of it, you know, it produces some evil. It arouses some evil inside of you. You might want to do the right thing with money. You know, you might want to give money, you know, say give it to some charity or help someone out. But sometimes even in doing that, you will create a worship atmosphere with people, and you set yourself up for a fall, because you know most people who, when you do something for someone, you want to see some appreciation from the people that you do the things for, and
absolutely.
But you have a love language, a way that you want someone to communicate that appreciation to you, and someone might not do it the way that you expect it to come across. And you might find yourself, your heart getting a little full now, because you feel like, okay, this person didn't appreciate you, all that you've done for them. Now you have, there's some animosity, and there's some things growing in your heart that can grow in your heart. On their side, they might look at you as Jesus, as their Savior, you know?
Right.
And forget from whence cometh their help, you know? They'll think God sent you. And you become to be the object of their affection and their adoration and everything. So the money is just a deceitfulness there that we overlook.
May I respond to that?
Yeah, you got it, brother.
I'll start with this. If money will allow you to be who you already are.
So if you win the lottery, what's already in you is going to come out. If you're stingy before you had the lottery, you're going to be stingy outside of the lottery. If you're given before you had the lottery, you're going to be given after the lottery. So I don't think it's the money that changes. I think it's what you already were in the inside. As a matter of fact, I very rarely play the lottery, but if I do play the lottery, it's not necessarily with the mindset of winning. It's the mindset of checking my mindset. What do I mean by that? I think it allows me to dream. If I say, wow, it's $700 million or $300 million, what would I do if I won $300 million? If everything that I do is not necessarily going to provide me help someone or actually build wealth or whatever, it checks me and lets me know where I am, where my state of mind and my state of being is. And not once have I. Matter of fact, if I was to get my wife, I don't even have to tell her anything. If you ask her, what would Eddie do if he won several million dollars, what would he do? My wife would immediately tell you, he'd give it away. We wouldn't be able to keep anything. And that's just
what?
Because that's,
wait a minute.
Yeah, that's the way that I am. I'm thinking about other people. Everything that I do is with other people in mind and trying to help them grow. Now, would I give it away in a manner that will enable them and keep them from being successful or helping that money grow? By all means, no, I would not. They would have to be educated in some way, shape, or form in order to be able to earn that money, but it would be given away. It would not be for me. I would purchase several properties that will provide a income that will cover my expenses to where I wouldn't have to work, but I would be giving, whether it be through speaking, projects, nonprofit organizations and stuff like that the whole time. But I say all that to say this. If you are stingy or you're rude or deceitful when you get money, you are already that way. The money didn't do that. And the danger in thinking of money that way is what it's going to do is repel you from getting it. Because if you think money is bad, you're not going to go towards it. And that's what keeps us from getting money and getting abundance, because we listen to or we read the Bible and it says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say it's not saying that money is bad. It's saying the love of money. First of all, you shouldn't love money. Love is just a means to get you around to travel or do transactions. But you need to love God, and everything else can come. It's not terrible to have money. It's loving money and worshiping money, which is normally what happens when you love something. You tend to worship it and give it all your time and everything and focus on that as opposed to the things that are important. So that's all I had to say in regards to that.
Can I respond to that?
Okay.
Yes.
About me.
You know, listen, you're saying I, and it's good when you as an individual can be responsible, but I think we've all agreed that the vast majority of us are not the same way. Money, you know, someone made a proverb or something about money in the hands of a fool. That person doesn't know they're a fool. You know, when the money gets in their hands, they start doing foolish things with that money to prove that. But just even further than that, you know, there's no good thing in any of us. You know, we need to abide in Christ, and he'll abide in us. And why money is not, no one wants money because they want to kiss it and throw it on the floor and lay in it and all that stuff. I mean, that's not why people want money. Money is what's going to buy us things and enable us to do things, and that's where the dangers come. Because after you've given money away to this one and that one, sometimes some of us will now have some things that we have not been delivered from yet. We start wanting to go do things or find ourselves in places that we should not be, you know, and that's when the enemy comes in to play his games.
True. I mean,
that's the job of having discernment. And also, I'm glad you reminded me. I meant to speak on something earlier. If you are doing things for people that cause you to feel resentment or like they didn't appreciate it, you didn't do it out of love. Anything that you do out of love, you don't really expect anything in return. You're just doing it because you love that individual and you just want to do something for them. But if you are doing something and expecting something back, that's not out of love. It's more out of manipulation. So we have to be
we have to be mindful of why we do things. And if you get to the root of it and do it out of love, there's no way you can be offended about anything that they do with the money or with the gift or whatever it is that you've done with it or the response to it, because you did it lovingly and out of the abundance of your heart. So I definitely don't think that we're all the same. And if you said that, a fool doesn't realize they're a fool, but that just confirms what it is that I was saying. You will act the way that you already are. So if you were the fool with the money, all you did was act like a fool. It wasn't the money that made you act like a fool. You were already a fool. So you just got money that gave you the opportunity to prove to the world that you were a fool. So you probably was a broke fool, but it was the money that helped you show on another level how foolish you were. But you can still be educated and in a manner and through Christ, like you said, which if you are in Christ, money should definitely not sway you to be deceitful because you're in Christ, which goes right back to what I was saying earlier, which is love. And if you're in Christ, who is love, then you wouldn't be doing things deceitfully. You wouldn't do things with the intent of getting things in return, or you wouldn't be upset or sad or disappointed at all at their action.
That's right. Now, this is Nas. So I just want to chime in. First of all, I got to commend you, brothers. I still have a journey to go. I ain't gonna lie to you. I will not lie to you. I hit the Powerball, the Mega Million. I may lay down in the damn money, butt naked. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm sorry. Please, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I am working through my wayward ways. I am trying. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna try to front. I may go to my job butt naked with a cowboy hat on. I don't know what I would do. So I'm praying through this. So I am working my way through. I say this to say this. Be honest with you, because money does bring out crazy things in people, whether it's violent, whether it's greed, whether it's selfishness. Money is the root of all evil. However, unfortunately, we live in society where they
love for money. Hold on, pause. The love for money.
I'm sorry. I'm using your terminology. My bad, brother. We starting again. But the love of money causes us
the love of money.
I'm agreeing because you guys are hitting some strong points. It's just the fact that we use money. Unfortunately, we live in a society where we need money to survive, just to put food on the table, to live. Live a normal life. So we got to work extra because we're put in these situations. You know what I'm saying? Like myself, it's not that, I need money, but I can live without it and then pay my bills. It'd be a beautiful thing. But unfortunately, Uncle Sam, when you talk to rent on their money, kids eat food and all type of stuff. All right, who's going to have to fly at a party? Wait a minute.
I apologize. I went downstairs to my library, which definitely doesn't sound like a library, to get a book.
Yeah, it sounds
sound
like
now.
You had a cool stuff. I'm sorry, brothers, but no, get back to the point. Listen, when I hear brothers like you guys talk about the money situation, and you're right, money can be, the love of money can cause a lot of wayward ways of many of us. Me personally, I'm not going to front, I ain't going to lie to you, and many listeners checking this out, I may act a fool at least. There's going to be some bail money put to the side. I may do something that's going to be on the channel on the news. I'm going to lie to you. I'm going to do something. If I hit the Powerball and the Mega Million, because that's my dream. I know, Lord, please forgive me. I'm not trying to put you the money above you. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just telling you, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something that's going to be involved with the news, because just the fact that I can pay for the bills, get out, and still take care of my family, and I can help my community, because, my heart is definitely with my community, helping our people. I'm not just saying just anybody in general. I'm talking about our people, whereas money and resources are not given to. But first, the old cliche is take care home first. I'm just being honest and real. I got to take care of my family, make sure my kids is good, you know, my grandchildren, my grandchild, you know, I want to make sure my family's good, you know. But then after that, I took care of my family, put a little money aside, tell them this was going to happen, I'm going to be against my community. That's me personally. But I ain't going to lie to you. You give me a bunch of money, I'm talking about it. I'm talking about like a couple of million, I will be on the news. And not in a negative way. I'm talking about this fool has acted up. This fool is running around the mall butt naked singing DMX, you know, maybe I have to lose my mind. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to have fun with it. Because I never had it. But, you know brother Davidson, I'm sorry, brother. You know, I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes we like to just zone out and just dream sometimes, you know. And for people who don't always have, once in a while it's good to dream, you know, just to have fun with it. But I know the reality. You got to be responsible with it. But I ain't gonna lie to you. I will probably do something more than likely will end up in the news.
See, I am there with you. I am there with you, and that's exactly why I don't want money, because I would know I would act like a plum fool. I would.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Come on, brother Davidson. If someone gave you $5 million, you going to tell me you're going to act all appropriate? You're going to do the river dance? You're going to sing? You may do things
absolutely.
That you don't know. No churches out here. You may run around the church with a thong on. I don't know. Lord, forgive me.
You're right. It'll bring things out of me. I don't want to come out of me. I want to hold that
they're
back.
They're like, kick him out the church. Kick him out the church. And like, listen, I'll pay my tithes for the next 10 years. Here. Forgive me.
So there's a scripture.
I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm sorry.
It's a scripture, Proverbs 30, the writer spoke about that he didn't want to be rich and he didn't want to be poor. He just wanted to have his daily bread. He said, because if I become rich, he said, I might say, deny you, Lord, and say, who is the Lord? And he said, if he was poor, then he might find himself stealing and then profane the name of God, you know, blaspheming the name of God. So
good point.
That's why he just wanted to have his own, everything he needed. Don't give me no more, don't give me no less. And I echo that mindset.
If I came from being poor and I'm immediately blessed or out of my work, through service and everything, I'm blessed. There's no way I can forget about God. Again, I'm saying that will make me rejoice and praise Him even more to realize where I came from and see where I'm at. And again, it goes back to what's on the inside of you, which is why I'm so glad. I'm grateful in that regard that I didn't get and I don't have abundance at this moment, because I'm prepared and I've been preparing myself for the abundance that I know is due and coming to me, so that when I do get it, I'm not like an MC Hammer, a Mike Tyson. Those people who did not know what to do with it when they got it. And the whole MC Hammer thing just goes back to what I was saying. MC Hammer was clearly a giver, great person, but giving does not necessarily help people, and it doesn't help yourself. And if you run out of things to give, you have nothing else to give. I said, if I was to win it, I would invest in things that will provide me with money on a consistent basis, like properties or rental properties and everything that will cover my expenses. And from that, I will give it away. There's so many causes and things that I could contribute to or help for the world and the community, that I would just give it away. And my wife, she'd say it all the time. She'd just shake her head, no, we would have to give it away. And that's just the way I am. And the book that I wanted to get, and this is what I wanted to share, just a short passage, and it made me think of all this. It says, again, when you want something and are fine if you get it or not, then you are most likely going to receive it. It says you must let go of your attachment to success to attract success. And I thought that's a powerful statement, because it rings true with so many things. You know, my thing is relationships. And I try to tell people that you should not date people or be in relationships with people until you're happy with being by yourself. So, and it's not until you're happy with being by yourself that you will not accept just anything that's given to you, and you'll know what to do and be able to discern the things that are right and wrong in regards to relationships, and this is the same concept. And the thing that bothers me, and I keep hearing you all say, is I don't want money. And unfortunately, your wish is your command. You're not going to get it because you keep speaking that. And if you're terrified of it, nobody goes towards what they're terrified. So subconsciously, you are pushing away what God probably has for you just waiting because you're either too attached to it or you don't want it subconsciously. So that's what made me share that. And it just bothers me. See, that's why I felt the need to say, you know, the love of money is the root of all evil, not money. It's the danger. That's the translation that we get when we hear that passage, and it's not the truth.
Edward, you never heard me one time say that I don't want money.
I didn't say that.
I know you didn't say it.
There.
I want some money, but let me
ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Not to step on anybody's religious beliefs, but I just want to ask the question: where in the Bible does it say that the God wants us to have abundance?
Let's start with "I shall not want." That's the implication that you not necessarily need. You should have. How about the passage of tithing? If you tithe more than I will open up the heavens and pour out a blessing that you cannot. Somebody help me out.
Do you want to have room enough to receive it? But that's talking about water. That's not talking about riches.
No, that's talking about wealth and abundance. Abundance is.
I disagree with that.
I'm not speaking to get you to agree with me. I'm speaking to share what you asked me. Whether you agree with it or not, that's irrelevant. You asked me a question.
I asked the question because I think we grab some of what you know our beliefs and our and everything from scripture. Where we have to understand the scriptures, you know, there's the Old Testament, there's New Testament, there's promises that God promised to Abraham and to his seed, physical seed, and then there's nothing in the New Testament where the church is to receive anything but salvation and eternal life.
Well, all right, first of all, the blessing of Abraham comes from the Old Testament all the way to the New. That is from the Jesus is from the lineage of Abraham.
Okay, there were a few things God promised Abraham, but those things were fulfilled. The one thing that didn't get fulfilled was the seed of the promise, which is Jesus. That's where we come in, and that's where what we inherit.
Well, hold on. All right, well, let's do this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we promised in heaven? We are promised mansions and streets and paved with gold and everything like that. If it's on
in
earth
heaven.
As it is in heaven, that is bringing heaven down. Not to mention, if we're talking about tithing, where we're here to pour out a blessing, why would we tithe money for him to pour out water? That doesn't make sense. He's trusting
I agree with
us
you.
To,
that's fine. I don't believe it. I personally don't believe in tithing, but that's a whole other discussion.
that is another discussion. But
that's another discussion.
We're bringing up the tenth. And when we're talking about the tenth, we're talking about money. And anything else, but I happen to tithe my money. I happen to tithe my time and anything else that I tithe 10% of it. With that being said, that's trusting him with this so that he can provide us with more of it. So that all of that has something to do with abundance and wealth included and money included in that.
Can I ask a question though? We would agree that it's only 1% of this world have rich people in it. Most the rest of us are poor. We go on by the scriptures, there's only 1% of wealthy people. Everyone else is basically poor and you know, we're still praying and asking God for things and for our daily bread and whatever. I mean, at what point is that window of heaven blessing going to happen? I mean, didn't happen to my grandparents or their parents before them. I mean, we keep hanging on to this scripture like we're going to get all of these things, but it has not happened yet. So at some point, we got to say, where is the proof? God said, prove me now.
The proof comes with faith without works is dead. We have all the faith in the world without the work that we, to apply to it. I don't see many people going out to learn about money and getting educated on money and building our own businesses, not to mention the whole the whole thing with Willie Lynch and everything in our mindsets. Just think about what we've been saying on the phone. You're not getting money because you're saying you don't want money, you don't like money. First of all, money starts with the mindset. Your wealth and everything begins with your mindset. So if your mind isn't right, you're not going to attract the things that abundance of money that you're looking for. So it all starts with education. If all you're thinking is, okay, just me knowing this word and saying this word is going to bring you abundance without practicing on money or educating yourself on money, how money works and everything like that, then of course you're not going to acquire wealth. There's plenty of people. You got your shout out to Sig, TD Jakes. He's an example of it. You got a lot of or mega church owning preachers that are evident that the Bible works and abundance works and tithing and all that stuff works. So
Eddie, one second. Sig has a question. Sig, go ahead, ask your question, darling.
Thank you. Y'all all off topic. The topic says for the love of money. Okay, I understand you have your religious belief. You want money. You don't want money. I don't know why you don't want money, but just forgive me on that one. But what the hell will you do for money? That's what the love of money is about. What is it that you will do? What line are you willing to cross to get money?
That would be the only thing. That's also when you have money, what will you do with the money? Not just
it
for it, but what you do
you
with
money,
it.
When you have money, let me attest to this. The more money you have, the more money you want. So let's say you get a couple of $1 million. Nas, are you still there? You got a couple of $1 million. You done rolled around butt naked and went to the mall. And we got you out of jail. Now, guess what? You want more money. Now what are you going to do?
Go back to the mall?
No. The more money you get, the more money you want. So for the love of money, if it's a love of money, you're not going to stop wanting that money to come in. What line are you going to cross?
That money. But wait, okay. Now, all right. Now, I believe, okay, Wade asked the question on where in the Bible does it say. It doesn't say anything about money. It does, though, say that, you know, that Jesus has come, and that's John 10 and 10. I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly.
Where? It can't be on earth. There's sickness and disease and everything else. Christians are dying. Christians are getting murdered. So that might, if we follow that scripture, then that would be a lie because there's many people here that's still suffering.
Well, we're only going to be suffering here on this side of the River Jordan. I think we've all come to terms with that. That when we become saved and we become born again, not making this to be to be prophetically Christian, because I know other people who have different beliefs in other religions. But as a Christian, you know that when you're born again and when you're saved, that doesn't eliminate problems or strife or confusion or pain or any of
my point.
It just states
where's
that,
the abundant life?
Right, that he gives you
what
you need in order for you to be able to deal with the sunshine and the rain. It doesn't say he's going to eliminate the rain, but he'll give you what you need to deal with the rain. He'll give you the umbrella.
So that sounds like just enough, not abundance.
But see, that's where the whole renewing of the mind comes from. If your mind is not renewed, Harriet Tubman says she would have freed more slaves had they known they were slaves. If you don't realize that you are, your situation is not where you should be, and you don't strive for more, you're going to stay in your situation, and you're just going to make the best out of your situation. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people are. But that doesn't mean the gospel does not work. It means you're not working the gospel. And that's what we have to do. We have to renew our minds, refocus, and look out and say, this is not where I'm supposed to be. As a child of God, this is not what I'm not supposed. This is not what I'm supposed to have. And that's what I aspire and strive to be or have abundance, so that the gospel will be evident, and that I can recruit and help other people to realize it was from my renewing of my mind, from my faith, and from my work that got me where I am in regards to abundance and not having to work and being able to retire and not having to clock in to work. But back to what Sig was saying, it goes both ways. If you have too much money, you might do the wrong thing for the for money, and it also goes right back into where you are. What is your limitation? A good example, Bow Wow, because of money, he just got fired from the BET 106 and Park show. He's been using their credit card to pay his child support. So he got caught for that, and he got fired. That's money. That's decisions you make. Would you go out and do something illegal just because you're trying to save a few bucks or you don't have enough money? It's just the different things that we are willing to do for a dollar, and that's all I'm saying. I'm not selling out my faith or anything like that just for a buck or to save a buck for anything like that. So I think
I agree. I agree, brother. I think, you know, brother Eddie, I think that's the fact that both you gentlemen are saying. I mean, I had an opportunity to sit and listen to what you guys were saying, and at the end of the day, it sounds like it just we tie in a lot of our, I guess, our moral beliefs in how we spend our money or how we deal with money. Just real quick, guys, we got another caller on the line. If you want to call and chime in, just say hello and also be part of the show. We want to give a special shout out to Nite from the Every Woman Talk Show. What's going on, Sister Nite?
Hi, guys.
Hey,
Dave.
All right. And I know Sister Sig is online as always. She's always listening and doing what she does best. These lovely ladies, they have the Every Woman Talk Show, and, you know, very strong opinionated. And, you know, every man needs a good woman to listen to, fellas. So listen to one of these women. Check them out every Tuesday. Definitely 7 o'clock. Just real quick before we go into the musical break, we'll start with Sig and then we'll go to Nite. Sig, I'm really interested in your perspective, you know, because I know you keep it funky. You keep it funky as far as about the money situation. You know,
okay, this is the truth, and I'm not gonna lie. And God knows my mind is warped.
I need that.
I was joking with this lady, and she was saying they were talking about starting their own businesses, and I was doing a workshop, and we were talking about that. And this one lady was like, and she had a body for days, good Lord, and it was blessed upon her. She didn't buy it, but anyway, she said, "I'm gonna be a madam." And we were like,
"Wow,
who gonna work
a madam?"
Yeah.
Hold on, stop. What? No, stop. Hold on. For the ignorant people listening, what the hell is a madam? I mean, I know
that's
we
a woman. That is a woman.
See, you know what?
Is a pimp for a prostitute.
She a pimp.
Exactly. Female pimp.
I need this clarification. I need that.
But she was joking. You know, we were just joking and playing around. And I told her I was going to make her a business card and said that. And I said, but think about it. That's a lot of damn money.
Yeah.
If your split is 70-30, and yes, I looked into this, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
On a bored day with nothing to do, I might be the next headline. Because it comes down to the bottom line. You know, I'm not going to lie. But I don't have a love of money like that. That would just be me being crazy. But people will do what it takes to put food on their table and get to where they need to get to. And once
do
something, after you've crossed your line, guess what? You're going to cross every other line after that
for
the love of the almighty dollar. So we can sit here and play holier than thou. Oh, I would never do that. I'm never going to tell that lie because my mind is warped. There is no telling what I would do.
I'm with you on that one.
To prove that I can do it. No
hey, I said I know I want it. I know what I would do.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I don't know what I would do. It made me really downright gangster and sick.
I'm with you.
I mean, get put in a certain situation. If put in a certain situation, there's no telling what you'll do to get your money back. Get to the point where you've invested with somebody like a Madoff, and suddenly all of your zeros are now just one zero.
I'm killing.
You living in a
50,000
square foot home. You don't want to get that home up. You've been flexing all this time. What you gonna do to keep your house, Pookie? Whatever it takes.
That's right. That's right.
And
that's
human
right.
nature. Whatever it
very
takes.
Well
that's
said.
Why money becomes the root of all evil.
Now,
very well
I'm,
said.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because I was watching a show years ago, many years ago, and Donald Trump was on a television show, and the guy said, "You've been bankrupt many times. If you were to be bankrupt again, what would you do?" And he said, "I would join a network marketing program." And he said, "I would join a network marketing program." That's what he said. "I would join a network marketing program and work that network marketing business." And the whole crowd laughed. And with the serious face, he looked on the camera and at the audience, and he said, "That's why I'm sitting here and you all are sitting out there." Why did I share that? Is because his mindset is, I built this with my mindset. I built my empire and all that stuff like that. I can do it again. Just through the knowledge that I have, the wisdom that I have, that's why it's so important to learn from your lessons and journey in life. Because if I did it one time, not through luck, through a lottery ticket. Unfortunately, if you get it through a lottery ticket, you got to win another lottery ticket if you lose the money again. But if I study the things that I'm doing, I take the time and practice and get educated on how money works and everything like that, once I get it and accomplish it, I can do it again. That's the power of education, not college. Education, and that's why I'm stressing the renewing of the mind, all that stuff, because you don't have to think about it. Unfortunately, some people that, you know, they might have gotten the business from their dad. If they lose the business, they didn't build it from the ground up, or they didn't necessarily take the time to understand the business, they probably couldn't do it again. But if you take the time to go through your journey and learn the things that you need to learn to accomplish or get to a position where you have that abundance or that money coming in the way that you do, you can do it again. You might just have to start over, which is stressful, but I promise it won't take as long as it did to get it the first time. So that's what I'm about, learning, understanding what it is that I'm doing so that once I get it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
How many single guys are there on the line? Single guys? Single?
You.
I'm married.
I'm married. I believe I'm the only, me and Nas are the only two married brothers on the line.
Okay. I asked the question, I'm just a real life experience of mine when I came into some money, and what happened to me was, I'd buy things that I liked, nice car, got a house and everything, and the money started attracting people to me. But I didn't have the mindset at first to realize that it was the money that was attracting people. You know, the women were coming. They liked the car that I had and liked the house and everything. And, you know, I'm taking them out to nice places for dinner and whatnot. And before I know it, you know, my money started to, leave my pocket. And
Burger King.
Then somebody's going, someone has called themselves falling in love with you. They might not even really be in love with you. It's just because you have this swag, you have this thing about you that people going to come.
Yeah, you got a dollar sign about you. And for the love of money, they're going to pretend like they love you.
So, why I bring that up is, money could cause some real-life situations to happen in your life that, depending on how intelligent you are or how naive you are, you could find yourself, doing some things and attracting people to you who are not good for you. There are some people that you're going to want to help if you're a good-natured person. Like, I was a good-natured person. Anytime somebody had a sob story to tell, they said it to me the right way, I'm like, oh, I can help you. Well, you need you can't pay your rent? Oh, I got you. Oh, you need a refrigerator? I got you. Before I know it, I had everyone calling me for a favor because the word got out somehow. I don't know. But, who you are.
You're not meant to help everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And if you notice,
I agree with you've been saying, Eddie. You've been putting some good stuff out there, and I think so many people shy away from money. People will say money is a terrible thing, but, you know, I feel like it's whatever's inside of you is what comes out once you have the money. And also, what is the purpose for you having the money? I believe God wants us to have abundance. I don't believe He wants us to be just broke and mediocre. No, because who's really trying to follow a God that's just broke and mediocre?
Exactly.
I don't believe that. But then also, I heard some of y'all say, I don't know what I would do, or I can't say what I would do. I have prayed for so long and asked God to make me a distribution center of wealth, simply because I know it's not just for Nate. I know that there are some people out there that probably will never get where I'm going, and God can use me to bless them. But first, I need to ask Him, God, what do you want me to do with this abundance? Because it's not just for me. It's not just buying. God may not want me to buy everybody a refrigerator. He may not want me to pay everybody's bills. But, God, what do you want me to do? And I also believe that acquiring wealth is kind of conditional in a sense, because the Bible does say God gives seed to the sower. So you got to sow first in order to get something. You know, you got to tithe, and not everybody believes in tithe, and I know I heard the gentleman say that. But God said if we would tithe, then He would open up the windows of heaven. So there is conditional. It's for us to do something, and then God responds. So I'm all with the being a distribution center of wealth. I believe in abundance, and for the young man that says that he didn't see anything in the New Testament that God said for abundance, actually it talks about abundance in 2 Corinthians in chapter 9. It's about giving. And in verse 8 it says that, you know, God will give us generously. He will generously provide all that we need so that we will always have everything we need and plenty left over to share with others. That's abundance.
That's abundance.
It depends on how you define abundance, though. That's abundance.
Exactly. And brother, and I noticed something, too, and I just wanted to tap on something you said. For one, I'm sorry if you didn't notice that you didn't have girls coming at you before you had the money, and when you got it, then the girls and stuff started coming at you. I'm pretty sure there was a significant change and an alteration in the way that you got approached. And two, I noticed you said when you got the money, you bought a house and a few nice cars. Those are both liabilities. Back to education and money again. Those are things that we tend to think are things that we should get because we have money. You didn't say you bought an investment property. You said you bought a house and a nice car. Those are everything that you talked about, paying for people to eat and helping them out. All those things were money going out. You didn't say anything about investing in something that will cause you to have money coming back in after you put it out. You didn't say anything about investing in any assets. Everything that you spoke about was liability. And that, again, goes back to a mindset and discernment, and especially foundation of God, because you should be able to discern that when people are using you and trying to get you. And we also did, I believe, a show is either a To the Root of It show or, I think it was a To the Root of It show when we talked about would you rather have love or money? Didn't we discuss that, y'all? Where we actually spoke about if somebody would you rather have love or money? And then a lot of people said they'd rather have love first, and then if they got the money, they know that the person loves them and all that stuff like that. So if you have to be able to discern, and that's where the whole education and knowledge and wisdom comes from, so that when you do get the money, you know the right things to do with it, and you're not just giving it out and just trying to respond to people that claim they need it. They didn't come to you and say they needed it before they knew you had the money. So it's just different things that if you just pay attention to your past as well as your current situation and your future, it should help you to make the better decisions. But I also noticed that, like I said, you invested in liability and you poured out as opposed to investing with the mindset of your future and like I said, being educated enough to invest in assets that will in turn give you money. So.
Okay. Well said. First of all, once again, you know, the show is the concept for those who's tuning in is for the love of money, and we basically go in about different aspects of the love of money and what derives from it. You know, right now, what we're going to do is we're going to go to a brief, very brief music segment. You know, we're going to go back to the classics on this one. And when we come back, we're going to close it out and kind of wrap up more things associated with the, I call it the ugliness of money. Because many of you guys talked about what money brings out to each one of us. So, hello? Everybody got me?
I'm here with you.
All right, good. All right, awesome. So, but like I said, you know, when we get back into the from the segment, you know, I want to explore why money makes us who we are. I mean, is it the money or is it us as personal, as individuals? Are we really that effed up? I'm sorry. I said effed up. I'm going to keep it real. But, you know, does money really expose who we really are? I mean, do we need to reassess ourselves? You know, just many things that we need to look at. So, without further ado, we'll go to a brief segment, if everybody don't mind. You know, we'll come back, and then we'll get to a healthy finish out discussion of the show about money and our personalities, how they intertwine with one another. Brother Dow, you good with that?
You better believe it. I need something old school. Can we just, you know, can we do some old school, please?
You want to go old school? Listen, man, for those who listen now, I had somebody from Louisiana. I had some Louisiana asking why we don't do some oldie but goodies. I'm going to do this for an oldie but goodie crowd. I mean, I'm talking about the barbecue. When you're in the backyard, you got the grill going. You got Grandma Curry over there eating the pig feet out the jar, even on, you know, eat the pig damn feet. And you got, you know, your family on the side that shouldn't be from out of town rolling dice in the corner. It shouldn't be happening, you know. So we're going to take it to that flow right there, you know. So once again, welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. We're having a great time. We love the topic. Big shout out, of course, to Brother Wayne Davidson, to Matei, Sig, Tom, Brother Eddie Dow. I can't forget about Brother Delancey Davis and my man Hassan. I know y'all listening. You're at work. We love y'all. Let's have a good time this evening. Let's come back shortly in 5 minutes and let's wrap this puppy up. For the love of money, the Man Up Talk Show.
You are now rocking with New Jersey and New York's very own. I don't know.
can I say? What am I gonna do? How should I feel when everything is you? What kind of love is this that you're giving me? Is it in your kiss or just because you're sweet? Girl, all I know is every time you're here, I feel a change, something moves. I scream your name, look what you got to do with darling. You've given me so much, girl, you're so unreal still. I keep loving you more and more each time. Girl, what am I gonna do? Thoughts you're blowing my mind. I get the same old feel every time you're here. I feel a change, something moves. I scream your name. Look what you got to do with darling.
Responsibility.
I'm the man every man.
to the Man Up Talk Show. We are having fun, and we had to dig in the crates for a little bit. I know, before we go any further, big shout-out to North Carolina, Virginia, Louisiana, you know, all those who support this show. We appreciate your love. And I didn't forget about those who wanted to hear the older good goodies. You know, we had to go back a little bit. You know, we got a lot of listeners. We got a lot of people who support what we're doing. And we want to make sure we appeasing everybody, you know. I guess evidently we're making some noise, so that's a good thing. But, you know, getting back to the topic, for the love of money, you know, we got our brothers in online, open forum right now, myself, Mr. Nass, Brother Darryl, Brother Edward L. Fairley, my man, Brother Tom Reynolds, and we got, of course, a guest co-host on the show, Brother Wayne Davison. And, of course, we have the lovely ladies from the Every Woman Talk Show, the one and only Signature Black, and, of course, Miss Nate. Miss Nate, you still with us, baby?
I'm still here.
All right, no doubt, no doubt. You know, make sure you guys check out the, you know, the Every Woman Talk Show. They're going down this upcoming Tuesday. They're going to address the issue, of course, the domestic violence from a woman's perspective. You know, the title, we don't know yet. We're working out the particulars behind the scenes. But the women have a lot to say when it comes to domestic violence and abuse of the relationship that they deal with. So please tune in. And, of course, don't forget to tune in on every Monday, you know, 8 o'clock with the Game Strong program. But our one and only Trey, the ladies like to call him Sexy Voice, but it's all good. I ain't hating.
That's right.
That's my man. That's family. That's my man. That's family. So it is all good. You know, it's all good. You know, Sig, I know that's Sig's favorite voice on his damn radio show program. But it's all good.
Yes,
you know.
Lord.
Brother Trey, Trey's holding down the Game Strong program every Monday, talking about local sports. You know, not only from the Charlotte area, he's also addressed the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut area, and, of course, nationwide. Because right now we got a lot of things going on, Super Bowl going on. And I want Trey to go in about my man. We got to talk about that brother, my man who went off on the Seahawks. We got to find out, was it right or wrong? Was it he the moment? But that's a whole nother show. But, you know, let's get back to the topic. I believe that we're addressing the fact that how money associates our personalities. Does money bring out who we really are? And I think Eddie and Brother Davidson said it, and even Tay, and I think Sig even hit on it. Matter of fact, damn it, everybody hit on it. Money. Yeah. I guess in some ways depend on how you control yourself, you know, your personality, who you really are. You know, does that make you a fake person? Because on one end, you're trying to be status quo, this polite, you know, dignitary type individual, but as soon as you get, let me say, 20 G's in your, no, 20 million. Let's raise up the ante. 20 million in your pocket, you become something else. You went from, you know, innocent, you know, let's use Justin Bieber. How about that? You went from an innocent boy, you get a bunch of money in your pocket. Now you thug life. You know, you wild and you driving Lamborghini, spitting on cops. You just wilding out. Is that who you really was, or did money help contribute to that? So look about it, guys. I mean, I think that you guys kind of hit on it before, but is that the personality? Does money make you who you really are? Is that you've been phony all the time before?
You don't know who you are.
Well,
you
know, let me.
I think money magnifies, you know, your characteristics. I think Justin was cutting up and acting a fool before he had so much money, but he just couldn't. Now he can do it to a greater level. Justin may need a regular job, and we may need to pull back from supporting him a bit much, because if you got that much time and money, throw eggs and to do these little car races and stuff, then we need to step back. Some of that money needs to come back a little bit until you can find a better means of what, you know, to use it for. But I just think it brings out what's already in you.
His ass needs
locked up. Yeah, for real, he's locked up and he's already out.
He needs
he's
to be locked
out.
Up.
You know what? No, he doesn't.
He needs
a damn whooping. Amen.
He does, and that's for the adult version of that.
Lock him down at Rikers, lock him down with the big dogs, let him meet Big Pookie on the East Wing, you know. He'll get the loving and the support he wants. You know, he'll get that thug life, whether it's in him or not.
Justin grew up, and his mom talked to him, and they were friends, and it's seven key whoopings everybody need in their life. Justin is missing five. Justin need to be sent to me. His ass just
so
needs
you don't think money. So you don't think, so do you think money accelerated who he really was?
No, you know what? If you don't have money and you're this quiet, meek, humble, praise the Lord, bless God person, and then you get money and you turn into the devil's spawn, your ass don't know you. You never did. You were faking it. You were just holding back because you didn't have enough money
Thank
to tell
you.
Everybody that was supporting you to kill
I
your ass.
I've been waiting for somebody
That's
to say that. Thank you.
Well,
see,
no,
see, hold
I,
on,
I,
Devin,
I,
you get a damn applause. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. She gets an applause from me. I've been waiting for somebody to say because, honestly, I think money just basically just it put a light on who you really was. That means that you was phony from the rip. You was phony person from
can
the rip.
Can I say something to that, though?
Can I say something to that?
The Bible says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? I mean, you don't know what's really inside of you. You don't.
That's because you just
don't
know
how
yourself getting
to the I don't know, brother.
Let me.
I beg to differ on this one, brother. I hear you, but I beg to differ.
Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I feel like, you know, one of the things that you realize, what do people do when they're bored? You know, we have a different opinion because when we're bored, you know, we keep it pushing. We keep doing bigger and better things. Now, if you've got someone who doesn't do bigger and better things when they're bored, you put $20 million in their pocket and they get bored, you've got them tossing eggs and racing and doing all that other dumb stuff. And, you know, back in the day, you know, you lock a couple people up. You know, that's the adult version of whipping the damn ass. That they started to get their some of their stuff together. You know, you look at how many actors can you think of that have been to jail, come out, and done the same thing over again? Especially with the old ones, it didn't happen. That was their adult version of getting their ass whipped. And some of these kids, you know, they need to get their ass whipped. Like Justin needs to get his ass whipped. But you know, we're not going to whip adults at ass. So we're going to send him to jail. He needs to go to jail.
He hasn't grown up yet. He still needs his ass whooped.
He's past 18 years old. He needs to be held accountable because we've seen people of color. Let's just put it out there: people of color have been put in lockdown for lesser charges and ridiculed. And it just baffles me how we just kind of put a band-aid on this cat, you know, alone. I mean,
he has money.
Many of our black people had money as well, and they're still being dragged through because they want to make an example of the black man or what they're doing.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? We need to show an example. Prime example, Plexico Burris has tons of money. He shot his own damn self in the leg with his own weapon that he purchased from Florida. You mean to tell me a good lawyer couldn't get him off on that? And it was
that's the problem. He had a lawyer. What he needed was a good attorney. There's a difference.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm talking to an attorney. You know, that's a difference. You know, duly noted.
I agree with the brother that stated we don't really know ourselves. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, character is revealed by circumstances. But you can do things that help you to work on your character to help you realize that what you thought about yourself was true when it happened. So you can work on things, but you don't necessarily know that you're patient until you are put in a predicament where you have to be patient. You don't know that you're brave until you put in a predicament that allows you to be brave. You don't know that you're strong until you presented an opportunity to show that you're strong. So I agree with you on that statement. As far as speaking earlier, I do want to clarify something. We didn't get off the topic. What we did was indirectly say that our values dictate our decisions because we did go off on a tangent about religion, but we were still talking about money, and we were basically saying that is our foundation behind what makes us make our decision, and how we interpret it might be different, but we're still saying that our foundation is what causes us to make the decisions about money that we do. So we didn't get off the topic. We just, like I said, indirectly said that our values dictate what we would do about when it comes to money.
Makes a difference with you, brother dear.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Nitya. Go ahead.
But you know, I don't.
No, that was six.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, six. Was it no? Wasn't it check?
I said all I was going to say. I
it's Nate.
You know what? I think that we have a glimpse of ourselves before we have the money, because we all have a measure of wealth now, and some of us are great savers, some of us are good at giving, and some of us just spend, charge, or broke at the check cashing place. So I think we do. We do have an insight as to, you know, our character right now. But the money is a tool. It's a magnifying glass. So we would be able to live some of these characteristics at a greater scale. So if you spend, if you have not learned how to save and put something aside or invest, then when you get money, you're gonna have the same habits unless you study and learn and acquire different habits. That's my
That's right.
I agree.
That's correct. And it took those life experiences for you to get that evidence or that discernment or that understanding about yourself. Like you said, the cash checking thing and stuff like that is evidence that you weren't doing good with your money, which in turn caused you to do that. So you do know that about yourself. It was the actual experience that caused you to recognize, like I said, whether you're brave, whether you're strong, whether you're weak, whether you're patient or not. It's the experience that allows you to know that about yourself. But until you have that experience, you don't necessarily know about yourself, or you don't know that I've grown out of that weakness until you experience it again and you have the opportunity to make that decision.
Now, brother Eddie's Nash, and,
I know your voice. I've been doing this for so long. This Nash.
You know, it's just for the listeners. It's for the listeners. That, you know what? I'm going to drop a bucket.
I was wondering about that myself.
Go ahead.
God damn it, you're going to stay in the corner.
I'm in the corner.
No doubt, brother. That's for the listeners just checking in. Because I'm looking at the switchboard, I see new listeners. So, listeners, this is how we get down. It's all love, you know. But, you guys talked about as far as, going through that first experience. But, honestly, at the end of the day, everybody know they self. Everybody kind of have an idea who they really are. They may be in denial. They may be trying to hide it. You know, you got people that, I'm holier than thou, but they know what they really get. Listen, I love the Lord, and I'm doing what I have to do. Now, no disrespect to nobody. I'm just keeping it funky in 100. You know who you are. You know where your heart is at, and even God know where your heart is at. You may know the word.
I agree with the second part. God knows. I don't know about
God
you.
God knows.
You
know damn well that, you get this money, you end up coked out or you're in some damn club or something like that. God know you do it. It was already in your heart. You didn't face reality.
But there's something called self-deception, isn't there? Other people are self-deceived.
Self-deception came in when I would never do that. That's your self-deception.
Okay,
deep down inside, your ass is going to do it anyway.
You have to accept that me personally, just for me, and I'm not talking for Sig, anybody else, me personally, I ain't going to say I'm holy and that. I'm saying, listen, I'm going to F up. I'm going to mess up. So the probability is very high. So, but as long as I realize because I'm a skeptic by nature, if I know what I may mess up on, it kind of keeps me in tune. It kind of keeps me grounded because I know that I could possibly go left wing. So as long as I put that in my mind, I say, you know what, Nas, you could really F up and get all this money. Let's think about this because I'm already thinking about pre-planning. I'm already thinking about wild and out. I'm already thinking about running through the streets butt-naked with a thong and some Timberland and
the
cowboy hat. Yeah,
that's okay.
It's easier for me to find out and know how to deal with myself when I'm faced with a whole bunch of money situation. I can handle that.
My question, Eddie. This is Eddie for you. Right back at you, right? This is Eddie.
Are you sure?
I know your voice, Negro.
My question to you is, my first question is, does knowing that humble you and keep you grounded, or does it just keep you away from getting it? That's my first question. And the second is, how many times
how many times have you said to yourself in your lifetime, and be honest, or have you ever said to yourself, if I knew then, or if I knew now what I knew then? I say that because we say that all the time, and what it's saying is if we had the knowledge that we have now, we wouldn't have done the things that we did back then.
If we'd accepted the consequences, we wouldn't have done what we did back then.
What do you mean? I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean
okay.
by that?
I think I can
answer that one.
If you cheat, you know that if you get caught, and when you get caught, you're only sorry because you got caught. And then once you get divorced,
that's
you take all your shit and you can't see your kids no more. You sit in the bar telling drunk Larry, if I knew then what I know now.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about a decision that caused me to have bad results. I'm talking about, okay, a good example was when I was younger, I had my car broke down on my way to graduation, high school graduation. My car broke down. And I knew the car was not worth money. It wasn't worth it at all. So I left the car on the interstate. The car got towed. I went to go get the car, get the stuff out of the car, whatever, and find out how much it cost to get the car out of the place. They said it cost $65 for the towing and something else, I forgot. And I said, the car's not worth it. Y'all can keep it. And I walked off, right? So 3 months later, I get a summons to go to court. That car cost me $3,600 and something. And I was like, well, what happened? Well, how is that? What they did was they charged a towing fee, and then they rented the storage fee every single day for the 3 months, and then after that I had to go to court. They sold the car for $25, which meant I was right. They sold it for $25, and I had to pay the difference. Had I known that they would be able to do that, I would not have made the decision that I made. Knowing if I knew the law and that they could actually accrue the storage fees and all that stuff, then sell my car for less, I would not have had to charge my car for almost $4,000. That's the stuff I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the making a bad decision or accepting something that I knew was wrong, and then when I got caught for doing it, then changing my mind. I'm saying literally making decisions that you did not necessarily know that caused you to say, you know what, had I known that, I would have made a different decision.
So I want to say one thing, which is that we need to stop trying to get rich and start trying to build wealth. I'm just going to leave it there.
You say what?
I think that as, you know, as a people, we need to stop trying to get rich and start trying to build wealth.
Yeah, but see, we got to first know what that means. We got to know what the difference is. See, we make all these statements and don't necessarily know what it means. And that's why we can't get it or we don't have it.
You know, my favorite, who was the comedian who had a, it was like, he's like, the guy, you know, the ones playing basketball
Chris
are rich.
I mean, Chris,
the one
Chris Rock. Chris Rock.
Exactly. It's like
Chris
the one
Rock.
Paying the check is wealthy. It's like, go buy yourself
exactly.
a new bouncing car. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And rims on your
have,
poster.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
like being
same.
Able to,
being
to have something
things.
You can pass on.
So I wasn't saying to disregard knowing and understanding right and wrong. I'm saying to legitimately have experiences in your life that you just did not know and understand and learn from them later and say, man, I wish I knew that. That's what I mean by had I known then what I know now. And that, for one, it's a testament to what you've learned and your growth. And it's also it helps you to realize or humble yourself and realize where you've gone wrong in the past. But at the same time,
well,
that's education.
I think a much more relatable story is when you look at college campuses and, you know, those different organizations that use signing up for credit cards as fundraisers. Kids get a, you know, fundraiser with a $300 limit and spend that $300. Next thing they know, they realize they owe so much more for that little bit of money. And understanding how money works and how the situations you put yourself in work, you know, those are the sort of things that need to happen more. Those are the sort of,
yeah.
You know, we need to
start smaller and start easier. And, you know, that personal knowledge of leaving your car on the side of the road.
Even with that, actually, Tom, when I was in college, I remember my friends, they were getting their refund checks, buying clothes and everything. I used my refund checks to put a down payment on my first house. I used that quote-unquote extra money to invest in something that could potentially accrue escrow and stuff like that and tax breaks or what have you. And just my mindset was different. That's all I'm saying.
That's excellent. But also for you, Eddie, you need people that don't have the mindset to buy houses because that's how you in turn make money or you create wealth. Because if everybody was buying houses, then, you know, you couldn't create the same wealth in a sense. You got to have somebody to rent to. So thank God for the ones, in a sense, that don't have the mindset to invest and to acquire.
Very good.
That would just be switching the game. I want everybody to be able to have. I think there's enough for everybody to have.
I'm just speaking to that point that you just made about, you know, that comparison you made between you and your friends. I believe everybody should have, but I also know that everybody's not going to have the same measure. Everybody's not going to amass, you know, huge amounts of wealth.
That's my mentality. Everybody should have a chance to know that they can. And I think I'm saying information offered to them so that they literally have a chance. Some people, they're not making decisions. They're just living what they think they have to do. And it's a difference. And
Brother Eddie, sorry to interrupt, man. I got online, I got Q from Atlanta, Georgia. Q from Atlanta, Georgia calling in. He definitely want to have something he want to say about the topic, so I'm going to bring Q in from Atlanta. Let me see if we get him online now. Let me see. Hold on, give me a second here. All right, right now we have a Q from Atlanta, Georgia. What's going on, Brother Q? Welcome to the Man Talk Show, brother.
Hey, I appreciate it. I just want to make a suggestion for the sake of the conversation. And this isn't a thing of being right. It's just, you know, a suggestion. There's always this thing in every culture that we look at, whether money wrestles with culture, meaning that for a lot of people, if you listen to Eddie, money is just a tool that he uses to solidify his culture, his situation.
Amen.
But the sad thing is that many of us, just like also the lady said, we look at amassing something as our source of culture. And therefore, when amassing something betrays us, we say, what has happened to our situation? When we never had a situation because it was never a true culture. And the last thing I kind of picked up on when he talked about the, I don't know if it was Eddie, but what the gentleman talked about, the car in the shop. Or the car he let go.
That was Eddie. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, the car because he towed it. You know, it's really funny in our community. We sit and vote for, we don't vote for things, and we allow things to get voted for us. Let me say that again. We don't vote for things, and we allow systems to get voted for us. And those systems. And those systems betray us, and we wonder why those mechanisms are in place in the first place. So it's not really this thing of money. It's just that, sadly, we don't practice this thing that everybody tries to make sound evil, which is socialism. When Eddie said he wants everybody, that's socialism. But we think it's an evil thing. So I just really would wish we would get back to the culture of us, and therefore find our power.
Very good.
Well stated.
Very good, brother.
Find a way to get in contact with me. I would like to speak to you more if you don't mind. I'll give you my email address or something. If you don't mind reaching out to me, I'd like to talk to you more offline.
No problem. I'll give you mine real quick. Everything is through my company, Clean Classy, Q-L-E-A-N. Q-L-A-S-S-Y, Facebook, Yahoo, doesn't matter.
You said Classy Q?
Q-L-E-A-N.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Q-L-A-S-S-Y. name of the company is Clean Clay. Yeah.
Brother Q, that was very well said, brother. You know, and we love the perspective coming from another male. Just, you know, just keep being honest and real. And, brother, we definitely invite you, and me personally, I want to invite you back to the show, you know, and definitely chime in on the subject, you know. Hell, you may join the panel, brother. Yeah, I love your
Q.
insight, man. Very good, well
Q.
said, brother. Very well said.
Before you go, Q, for the sake of our intentionality when it comes to marketing our radio show, how did you hear about it so that we know to keep doing what it is we're doing in that regard to get more people like yourself listening?
Well, I used to be a known person on Blog Talk. So what I do is I seek out things that concern of men. And that's the attraction was the male perspective. I'm going to end up doing a show called Black Manhood Lessons, but
thank you, sir. We truly appreciate you. Keep listening and let us know what you have going on so we can support you as well. Okay.
All right, I'll keep.
Yeah, definitely, brother.
Care.
Definitely, brother. Q.
Yeah,
we consider us as supporters, brother. Thank you. Definitely. Once again, you know, we definitely appreciate the brothers and people that call and check out the show. You know, we're getting close to the time, ladies and gentlemen. I just say, first of all, great damn show. Just being honest, great damn show. You know, a little argument, a little controversy, a little difference of opinion, you know, but at the end of the day, when we sit at the table, this is just everyday people talk about everyday situations. Not everybody can agree with everybody, you know, and that's the beautiful thing and I got to be honest, as black people, we may not agree all the time, but we need to understand the bigger picture here. You know, I can't talk for any other ethnic race, no disrespect. I'm just talking as me as an African-American. Let me just say as a black man. I live in America. So, you know, let me just be honest. I'm a black man in America. You know, I may not agree all the time with my fellow brothers and sisters, but I know there's a bigger picture here. And whatever I can do to help for the cause, I'm all in for. And I love my brothers and sisters that's on the show and those who call in. So, guys, you know, let's wrap it up. You know, any closing remarks? Let's take it to, of course, our guest host, Brother Wayne Davison. Brother, you have any closing remarks?
All I have to say is, you know, we spoke about how we get money. We have to really pay attention to that. We should always allow God to bless us with money or you know, but money is not the only thing that we can be blessed with. It's long life, good health, a number of other things. When it comes to how the money comes our way, we should raise our hands like Abraham did in Genesis chapter 14 when he said to the king of Sodom, who was Satan in disguise, that I will accept nothing from you.
Okay. Once again, you know, Brother Davison, we appreciate you, brother. I appreciate the time out of your schedule to sit down and be a part of the brothers and the I'm going to say the brothers and the sisterhood because, you know, we are formerly the family here at Shadow Wolves Radio, and I appreciate brothers like yourself taking time to be a part of what we do because all of our guys, you know, throughout the nation is trying to do positive things. And once again, kudos to you and thank you, brother. We really appreciate you tuning in and being part of the combo. Definitely.
I second that, man. Thanks, Henry. Thank you, Henry. We appreciate you, brother, your insight and your words. Seriously.
Definitely. Now, I got to chime in real quick before we spin around to Eddie and of course, to Tay. Big shout-out to my brother, Tom. Tom is, you know, he's always in and out. We love him. I know Sid got something to say about Tom. You know, Tom, you know, he's doing great things for NAACP. You know, he's now been promoted to the treasurer for the whole New Jersey, guest branch or how you want to put it. You know, we are very proud of Tom and what he's doing, and we're very honored. So, Tom, thank you for part of the show and do what you do, brother. Do what you're doing. Brother Haas, Delancey Davis, our other brothers, you know, I'll be remorse not to exclude them in, of course. Let's send it to, of course, Sig, then we'll go to Nate. Sig, you have any closing remarks?
No.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm going to talk to you behind the scenes. You're going to say something.
No, she ain't got nothing.
But we love you.
Okay, so Mitch, I got something to say. Everybody's not going to be in the same place. Everybody's not going to want to do the same thing. Guess what? Everybody don't want to own no damn house.
That's
so
right.
If you want to own a house, you feel free to deal with your escrow and all that other crap you got to deal with. And for people that want to rent, rent on. Call the landlord when your water heater breaks. Thank you. I appreciate you. Do what you do.
See, you know what, Sig? That's what we need. We need that closing remark from you. But we're going to talk behind the scenes. We're going to work on that. But I love you anyway. Let's keep it moving. you and this, I don't have nothing to say. Damn it.
But if you all have been watching Facebook, she's been saying a lot the whole time. So
you
want to hear what she got to say?
Says a lot.
Look at look at the wall. She's been writing the whole bag on show.
Sig will say, Sig is one of the most informative people you ever see out there on social media. But you ask her to say something, unless you snap her button or whatever you want to call it, you know, she'll put it in writing, but it's like good or bad. But anyway, let's go forward. Nate, you had any closing remarks?
No. No, I'm joking.
You every women talk show host, y'all going to stop playing with us.
No, I'm just joking.
We use all our words on your show. What are we going to use on ours?
Oh, we have women.
Damn,
we find a word.
Listen, we're invading your show. We're invading your show this Tuesday. You're going to turn it up.
No, you know what? I guess money is a topic that you can talk about for days, years, months on end. It's never ending. You can talk about people's love for it, people's lust of it, or people's fear of it. And I just feel like everybody has an affinity, you know, to money. Some people have it more than others. And I just think that whatever affinity you have for it is what the money, your feeling of money will draw out of you. Either you love it, you hate it, or you have a fear of it. And I think you will handle it based on your attitude towards it.
All right. Well said.
I'm working on my, I want some. It's good. I love it. I just, you know, for me it's a tool, and I have some things that, you know, I want to do with it. And not just for me, but I just want God to be able to use me to do some things with it for him. That's my take on it. And I have to say, it is not about being holier than thou, because I know a lot of us throw that word out there. But it ain't about that. It's about your relationship. And I have a relationship, and I'm cultivating my relationship. And just like some folks that's married, you know, we don't say more marrieder than thou. Y'all are cultivating your relationship. So I had to put that out there. I'm putting that out there.
Now, we got to spend to Brother Eddie, because, you know, make sure we had a proper time.
You really should have nothing to say. Eddie should have nothing to say.
That's not even possible. We're not even
Eddie,
acting like that's possible.
Eddie, it's never possible. Eddie always has something to say. What you got, big dog?
No, honestly, actually, it actually piggybacks off of what Sig has to say. We are not here to agree. We are here to let you all hear many different perspectives on one topic so that you get the whole picture and you can make an educated decision for yourself. That's why we are here. We are not here for us to leave kumbaya or trying to get each other to agree with one another. We are here to share different perspectives with one another so that we all can pull from each other and grow together in knowledge, wisdom, and in power. So I need you all to understand. And also, we're not here to appease everybody. So
hold on. Say it again, brother. Say it again.
We're not here to appease everybody. And it's easy to try to get caught up in trying to please everybody to where you lose yourself and your vision. And we know what we stand for, and we will stay true to that, not trying to win people to listen, but keep the ones that are here and in turn cause them to recruit people that are like-minded who want to grow along with us to come and listen. And if that means there's only 50 to 100 or 20,000 people, we're okay with that because we know we can make an impact with what we have.
That's right. Drop a bomb on me. You made me drop a bomb on it.
I didn't understand a word he said.
Well, I heard him. He went all Farrakhan on me. Steve, what you got, man?
I love
that. D, what's up, man?
Yes.
D?
Yeah, man.
Step away from the ribs. Let's go.
Brother. By any means necessary. Anyway. Tonight's show has been a good show. It's been a great show. What we've learned and what we've exchanged is there's two things to think about when we talk about for the love of money. It is, what are you willing to do or what are you not willing to do to give back? That's one. Mm-hmm. Number two is, could your desire for the obtaining of money, the money that you receive, are you equipped or are you ready to deal with what you're blessed with? Sometimes you have to be ready for your blessing. You have to be ready for your opportunity, because opportunity without preparation is failure.
That's good. Really good.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
If you are not ready for the opportunity that you are given, you are destined to fail. So you have to have understanding, you have to have knowledge, you have to have wherewithal that you are going to achieve and you're going to obtain X, Y, and Z, left and right, up and down, about what it is that you want to do and what you want to take. What you're taking in, what you're getting, you need to be ready. You need to be prepared for that. So, and just to wrap up, just to wrap this up for tonight, is that just be mindful of whatever it is that you want, and most importantly, why do you want it? You know, not necessarily the fact that I desire to have this. There's nothing wrong with desires. There's nothing wrong with wanting better things out of life. But why do you want it?
That's right.
You know, do you want it so that you can live a more comfortable lifestyle and those around you can as well? There's nothing wrong with wanting the best for you and your family. But if you're trying to do it to the extent of, okay, I got mine, and I can give a rat's ass what you got. And I don't care what I have to do to get mine. If that means I'm taking from you, I'm taking from yours, then I really don't care. If your heart becomes so hard and so cold, then yeah, that's where an issue comes in. That's where you got to turn to your God, whether it be Allah, Yahweh, Jesus, whatever way you feel you need to go. That's the way that you need to go. You need to look inside of yourself to judge where you stand when it comes to economics or anything else which gives you power or influence or whatever that case may be. For me, that's it for this week, everybody. So I'm done.
Y'all will never talk about how long I speak again.
You ain't nothing, brother. You went to my sound bite, brother. You went to my, because you were talking behind the scenes, Stan. I had nothing to say. You know what?
I'm sorry,
we out.
Play
here.
Back.
We out.
I love y'all. Y'all take care.
Shadow, World, Radio.